Hello, and welcome to the Movie Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll have a spoiler-filled discussion about a movie we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay, and we are going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on Avengers Endgame.
Because the previous movie was Avengers Infinity Battle.
Infinity War.
No, because if it really was war and we'd won the war, we wouldn't have needed to end the game.
They lost the war. They ended the game afterwards. I took Endgame as really the end of kind of the first, however many, I guess, three waves or phases or whatever they call them. Of films, and that they were trying to build kind of a meta arc over that. So obviously we're going to spoil the hell out of pretty much every previous movie.
So you're saying I should have seen the ending coming?
I'm not saying you should have seen it coming, but I think there were some turning points, specifically Captain America Civil War. Basically, there were a couple of movies leading up to Avengers, and that was kind of your first plot point or whatever, if you had a three-act structure.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America Civil War potentially being that second one, Avengers Infinity War being kind of the start of that climatic scene, this being the end and the epilogue.
Well, for my money, as a two-part movie, I didn't care for how they opened it.
I didn't see it as a two-part movie. So this is definitely picking up the ramifications of the first one of Infinity War. But it's not like one where they had a movie and split it in half. Although I could see people having that opinion. To me, this was something that, whether they had truly been building to it the whole time, they made it feel like they had been building to it the whole time.
Yes, I'll give you that.
And I appreciated that. We were talking when we were sitting in, either in the theater before or driving over to it about, well, how should they open this? And I was kind of thinking that you do a little bit of an extended studio title card kind of a thing. And they sort of did this, but not quite. But man, I'd have gone through a highlights reel of key moments from the various films that remind you of pretty much everything you need to know.
Yeah.
This is the birth of Captain America, the birth of Iron Man, the birth of this, the birth of, you know, where this happened, where that happened. Oh yeah, there was that. And they instead open the movie with basically where was Hawkeye when the snap happened.
Mm-hmm.
And even did that in a way that I felt was a little light on special effects.
Yes.
You know, we get the hint that they'd faded away, but not again like we'd seen at the end of Infinity War.
We saw the ash on the daughter, but it was
the ash from the daughter.
Yes.
Never did we see anyone turn to ash.
That's a fair statement.
And that's the point.
And you really had to be aware that you were seeing the ash on the wind.
If you didn't know, if you came into this movie cold,
yes,
you'd be like, what's going on?
And I think that's why, to me, it was a two-part movie. Because the previous movie ended on a cliffhanger that needed to be resolved. And this movie started with basically a continuation of that scene that we ended on.
Well, I have a little bit of an advantage here because I rewatched Infinity War a couple of days ago because I had a little time. And just figured it'd be a good thing.
Smart.
And they didn't end on the snap. There was actually a few scenes after that.
And as I recall, those scenes were other people disappearing elsewhere.
Even got one with Thanos afterwards in where we see him here. So there was enough of kind of a, we lost, now what? And so I didn't feel it ended on a cliffhanger. Certainly ended on a downer moment. And one with, okay, they've been defeated. They're going to have to rally again. So that adventure had ended and the follow-up adventure starts. But again, it's a difference of perspective. One of the things that I liked about Infinity War was it felt very epic in scope. There was a lot going on and stuff. And one of the things I felt about Endgame was certainly it was epic in scope, more so than almost any other movie I think I've ever seen or whatever. But there were also some places where it was a little slow.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of talking heads, a lot of, you know, setup. I mean, it was a 3-hour movie.
Yeah.
And they used the time well, but I think they could have made the movie more accessible. I think they had so much that they not only tried to do, but succeeded in doing in the film, that by the time we got to the big battle at the end, I'm like, okay, this is a redo of the big battle from the last movie, but almost a, I know you're going to have to show me everybody doing a little something in this battle, but you know what? Just, I almost want them to skip past that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and in some ways, it was a redo of the original Battle of New York with the stuff coming out of the sky.
Yeah.
And it was very familiar.
It was. And for at least 3 of the 4 Avenger films to have that kind of a thing, and I would argue Ultron had it as well.
Mm, yeah.
Not as visually similar, but again, the overwhelming swarm. It has a little bit of repetitiveness. This one, because it was so similar to the last movie.
Mm-hmm.
Same antagonists, for the most part, different setting, whatever.
Well, I found it funny that, and I know I'll be getting the timing off, but it felt like just 10 minutes into the film, bye-bye Thanos, we've dealt with you. I mean, everything still sucks, but bye-bye. Turns out you weren't really the bad guy. The situation is the bad guy.
No, I think that was, Thanos was clearly the bad guy. But by killing him, it seems like, okay, well, I guess we've won now, but we're still lost. You know, there was a sense of too little, too late.
But I guess that's why I keep referring to the other one as a battle, not a war, because think of it in terms of World War II. The war is the overarching entire conflict. It's not Omaha Beach.
No.
It's not Dunkirk. It's not specific battles.
I get that, but there are times where wars happen, are done, and then another war is fought for the same basic turf or reason.
I get that. I just think that to me, this was all one war. Separate battles, but all one war.
I think it was two wars in one conflict that was the bigger thing, but I would argue that the Thanos they fought in the two wars, in this case, were different Thanos, different earlier version or whatever. But again, that's, again, different perspective. I see where you're coming from that. For me, it was a little different. I loved how they were able to do so many great callbacks to so many aspects of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
So much as going back to the Battle of New York, literally.
Oh, I give Mark Ruffalo total credit for his Hulk. When he sees how he was there.
Oh, and he's just embarrassed.
Yes, totally embarrassed. But then it's kind of, okay, you need to get from here to this other place, but basically kind of travel incognito as you were back then.
You may need
then.
To smash a few things. And he's like, smash, smash, you know, just not, heart's not into it. It's like,
well, he even tries to do the growl, but as you said, heart's not in it.
Yeah.
Kind
it was
of
pretty funny.
Grr.
I loved, though, when he gets to his objective, and we're going to probably bounce around
yes.
the plot of the movie as we discuss this, and we get the Ancient One.
Yes.
So nice callback from the Doctor Strange movie, bringing in a character. It's like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. But then when she shoves Banner essentially out of his body, and he's back to him, not the Hulkified him.
Yeah.
That was nice, because it was one of the few times we actually see Mark Ruffalo as Mark Ruffalo.
Well, you had told me over lunch kind of a how this played out in the comics versus because I had suggested what if since the reality stone was one of the stones, half the people had gone to kind of a different reality.
Let's go ahead and talk about that some because in the comics, you know, originally when they first did this arc, that event series, Thanos snaps, half the people are wiped out, they rally, they eventually win the day kind of a thing, because, hey, they're the heroes. When they redid it more recently, like in the last year or so, when the person who has the gauntlet snaps, and I don't think it was Thanos, I'm blanking who it was, I'm thinking it was maybe even Gamora, instead of, the population gets cut in half, but not by killing people, by taking pairs and merging them. So you get a Soldier Supreme that's Cap and Doctor Strange. So those kinds of hybrids.
Well, see, what made me think of it just now is you talking about the hulked up Banner. To me, that was the closest they came to what you just talked about.
Well, going into the movie, there were a couple of things I knew because I was not able to completely avoid spoilers. And I don't know how much that impacted my viewing of the film. I knew we were going to get kind of that Professor Hulk scene. I'd seen a shot of when they were in the diner.
Mm.
And he's like, what? I'm wearing glasses now and a shirt. You know, who'd have thunk?
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't really object to that. Fits with what had happened with the Hulk during the Peter David run and stuff like that. But again, I knew that going in, so there was no surprise there. I also knew about kind of the fat Thor.
Mm.
And that really didn't work for me in the film.
It didn't work for me, and I was torn with the whole, did we go with, we need lazy slob Thor so that the hair is grown out and he's got the beard so he looks more like he did in the early movies for when he goes back to Asgard, but why did we go so hardcore on the beer belly and basically a personality shift?
He basically was broken by having not defeated Thanos until it was too late.
Yeah.
He felt unworthy. And they played with that when he gets the hammer and stuff back. And I loved some of what they did with the hammer, both with Thor and Cap being able to lift it clearly.
Yes.
So there was some fun moments there. But that whole aspect of Thor didn't work for me.
I guess for me what wasn't working was not just that Thor had felt unworthy, but that Thor would make no effort to be worthy. If that makes sense, he still had a community of people relying on him.
He'd given up, and the fact that he was still worthy is surprising in that light. And the fact that he needed the pep talk from his mom and such.
Yeah.
And even then, it didn't fully kind of kick in or whatever.
That was one of the scenes that, to me, played as an attempt at girl power.
Oh, for me, the girl power moment was in the battle. Peter Parker hands the gauntlet to Captain Marvel, and it's like, oh, how are you going to get it there? Oh, don't worry, she has help. And then every other female character is kind of assembled or whatnot there.
Yeah.
And it was very much the women of Marvel kind of a thing. And yes. It was a good moment.
It was a good moment, but it was very much a, you boys couldn't get to the finish line, so we girls will take it from here.
It was both a girl power kind of moment, and it was also kind of sexist.
Yes, that's how I felt.
You know, because if they had done a similar thing with just men.
Yes.
It's like, well, where are the women?
Yes.
You know?
To me, I had appreciated more Valkyrie helping Spider-Man, and I had appreciated all the teamwork that had come before that.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. And there's an aspect of, again, the epicness of that battle with everybody coming into play. I think they had the opportunity to possibly bring in a few more people.
What blew me away about the epicness of that battle was as people just kept appearing, I was losing track of, okay, no, wait, who's that? Wait, have I even seen that person in how recently? Like Elizabeth Olsen. Trying to remember, when did I last see her in one of the movies?
Well, again, she was in the last one and stuff. Yeah.
That's what I was trying to remember.
Rewatching them. I think because we had seen this in the theater today, if we had waited till Blu-ray, I think there would have been a bit more commentary between us back and forth.
Yes.
Complete in one or two cases with a, hey, pause. Who's that?
Yes.
Because when we got to the funeral for Tony bit there at the end, and they're doing this pan kind of back and forth as they're working their way up the hill of all the people behind the dock and stuff.
Yeah.
We get to over on the right by, I guess it was Falcon, Winter Soldier, and
Warhammer?
I was thinking it was Scarlet Witch at that point, but I could be wrong.
She was there too, I thought.
This was in the further back row. It was right before they're starting to go up towards Captain Marvel. But there was a boy in that area.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not Spider-Man. He was up in front. I who was that?
Yeah. Well, I thought it was funny that Guardians of the Galaxy had swapped sisters because of the time jumps.
Yeah, I thought that was a little weird. The part that bothered me with how they solved everything is basically, okay, they go back in time, they steal the stones, they put together their own Infinity Gauntlet. Got it. Makes sense. They know they're going to have to put it back. Okay. When they do the snap, it's bring everybody who'd gone away then to the current day.
Uh-huh.
So they effectively jump forward 5 years.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, they do that. They save the day. We're all good when Tony snaps and wipes out the bad Thanos' forces.
Uh-huh.
Good with all that. We then get a scene there at the end with kind of that aftermath kind of a thing. And we've got Peter Parker at school, and he's happy to see Ned.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a sec. Peter's one of these people, and who knows, maybe Ned is too, that have been gone for 5 years.
I got the impression Ned had been gone for 5 years, too.
How do you get half the students have aged 5 years, half hadn't?
Yeah.
I'm curious on how in Far From Home this plays out.
Yeah.
I will say, though, I loved, particularly in that one scene when they're doing the back and forth of all the people, and they'd done this throughout the movie, we were starting to get not just Peter Parker, but his aunt.
Mm-hmm.
Only scene she's in there. We get not only Ant-Man and Wasp, but the original Ant-Man and Wasp.
Yes.
Even though Henry Pym, we'd seen him earlier and stuff. But there were, and this is the one time we actually see Nick Fury.
Yes.
So there's a ton of cameos in here.
Yeah.
Again, we mentioned the Ancient One, and there was just so many things. Peggy Carter.
Mm-hmm. She had a really good scene.
We got Jarvis.
Yeah.
It was funny seeing Jarvis with the actor who played the older Howard Stark versus the one who played the younger one in the Peggy Carter series, but it, given the timing, it made sense.
Uh-huh.
So they referenced so many of the movies and acknowledged so much of the history that they'd built over the last decade or so.
Mm-hmm.
That it was so epic in scope.
What bothered me about the final battle and the travel and everything was how Nebula was able to get a ship through the quantum portal thing. Because it's not like they had a GPS thing to place on it.
How she was able to suddenly work the thing, I don't know. But I was still stuck on...
She had the shared network with the other Nebula.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to go to, though. Is she had the shared network with herself. Okay, you're taking somebody, you're cybernetically augmenting them. Why do you network them?
To themselves. I don't know.
And it was something that was mandatory for this plot to work, because otherwise, how does Thanos get wind of all of this?
Yeah.
That part didn't work for me. It just didn't make any sense as to why she was networked, particularly when she had to then hardwire herself into the time machine and stuff like that versus, well, she's wireless.
Mm-hmm.
If there'd been it's some movie, she's wireless and aren't you worried about security? That would have, and they could have set that up early in the film with her and Tony Stark on the ship.
Yeah. Well, and Nebula hadn't been fully honest about what it takes to get the Soul Stone or what she knew about what had happened in the getting of the Soul Stone. She knew Thanos went with Gamora and came back alone.
Yeah.
She has strong suspicion based on what she was telling Gamora up on the ship.
Well, let's run with this. She suspected he'd sacrificed or whatever. But if almost any other pairing of Avengers had gone to go get the Soul Stone, it would not have worked. It had to be Black Widow and Hawkeye who were romantically entangled when we first see them in the Avengers movie. Because otherwise, if it had been, say it had been Rocket and War Machine.
Yeah. You must sacrifice the one you love. Do you have them handy?
First off, if you'd given that to Rocket, I mean, what's he going to do? Throw his gun over?
I like it. All right, now what if you'd sent Falcon and Cap?
That one might have worked.
Though we didn't have Falcon yet. I retract it.
I was going to say, Falcon wasn't around to do that. You didn't have Bucky to do that.
That's right. We had War Machine and Tony. Tony.
But I don't know that War Machine is that in love with Tony. We know Tony's not that in love with Rhodey.
Yeah, and Tony wasn't going to take Pepper.
I think that actually was a mistake. If I were going to go muck around in the time stream, I would take with me anything I wanted to keep.
Mm.
The fact that they didn't circumvent the timeline and such was dumb luck.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, as much as they reference Back to the Future in every other time travel movie ever made, I know how I think time travel ought to work. But that's not to say I'm right, and I would gamble people's lives on that.
But I do love that Ant-Man was willing to gamble his life on Back to the Future being right.
Mm-hmm.
Right up until someone proved to him it was wrong.
I don't think they proved it was wrong.
Well, but argued convincingly. And, well, even Bill and Ted's came up.
Yeah, I would have been happy if they'd actually, we come back to, you know, a scene where they've clearly been arguing all night on how time travel would work and the paradoxes and all of this until it's finally like, we just don't know. So there was some definitely some fun moments in the film. Oh, I take it back. One of the other things I had known going in, because I think it was in one of the end scenes from either Ant-Man or Captain Marvel, was that Ant-Man showed up at their door.
Oh, interesting. I knew from the Ant-Man end scene that he got stuck in the quantum realm.
Yeah, he got stuck in the quantum realm. I forget where it was, but maybe it was a trailer or something. Mm. I'd seen the, hey, this is the front door.
Oh, interesting.
Captain Marvel, I think, was poorly used in this film.
Me too.
She was way too powerful.
Yes.
Inexplicably gone for a lot of it.
Yes.
Unavailable for the time travel jumps for no reason. And yes, there's a lot going on there and stuff, but hey, we're trying to save the entire universe and make that not matter again.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel that she was, frankly, as integrated into the group as just about everybody else.
She wasn't very integrated into the group. And there was never any mention of, hey, you want to time travel? Let me run that by the scientists here type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got their big...
Got that whole Supreme Intelligence thing you could have asked.
Yeah.
Surely somebody in the galaxy has done something with time travel. Or if she'd just been off coordinating, here's the Galactic Council and what they're, you know, wondering or thinking about or planning or what have you.
Or suggesting for when you snap.
Yeah. Yeah, you there know, was a lot of those things.
I mean, it seemed like a proper thought when you snap, because it came across as the only thought at the snap was bring the people who went missing 5 years back. But if it had also been, and make sure Thanos can't form an army and do this again.
Well, the other thing that dawned on me when Thanos was fighting, I guess, Captain Marvel, pulls off, I guess, the Power Stone and then punches her.
Yes.
Why didn't they distribute the stones across the Avengers? I mean, I'm not sure who I'd have given which one to.
Well,
certainly the power one would have gone to the Hulk.
Yeah, that's an interesting notion. You've got Clint with the gauntlet when he rescues it mm-hmm. after the kaboom. He goes running. He finally gets out of the building, which really seems to take a while.
Yeah.
So then it's basically as they're playing, that is the most fumbled gauntlet.
I was gonna say, where's the football?
In history.
Yeah.
But as they're playing fumble the football, each person could have taken the appropriate stone. I mean, if you had had, for instance, Doctor Strange take the reality stone or time.
I would have given him back the time one. He's got the most experience with it. I would have probably given Tony the reality stone.
I don't know. He seems to have the least experience with reality, but okay.
He's the most creative.
Okay.
And it effectively would be, hey, you're without your armor potentially at that point. Here, boom, he's got his armor.
Okay.
You know, oh, they need a weapon. Let me give them, you know.
Yeah.
So for the weapons manufacturer to get the reality stone kind of a thing would work. I would probably give the mind stone to Mantis, actually, because she has mental powers and therefore...
Okay.
Most she could do with it. Although I would probably given it to Drax just for a minute or two before that. It do nothing, and then she takes it.
Okay.
Let's see, which other stones are there? The Soul Stone. That's a tough one. Probably,
Cap? No?
Scarlet Witch.
Oh, interesting.
It just seems like that would be Cap would be an interesting choice, too.
Well, I was going with Cap because he seems to have the unwavering moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be the one you would want to trust it with.
Which stone have we not accounted for out of them? Because space, I think, is the other one.
Yes.
Not sure on that one. Be Rocket? Interesting. But if they had basically powered up six of the Avengers.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to take on. If you'd done that and had Captain Marvel and Thor... Well, who are in a similar weight class to Thanos.
I was going to say, we did basically power up Captain America.
Yeah, with the hammer.
And that was fun.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting a little bit more interplay between Cap, Thor, and Iron Man, a la the first Avengers movie when they fought each other.
Yeah, I see where you're going. I mean, I hated the whole Avengers bicker. I was hoping for more of the Avengers we've settled into friendship, and we never seem to have settled into.
I guess for me, it wasn't the bickering, though, but like when they were fighting and it was the interaction between the hammer and the shield and a few things like that that caused some.
We got some of that in the final fight.
We got a little, particularly Thor powering up Iron Man's armor and some stuff like that.
Uh-huh. And actually, Cap was doing a lot of it for himself.
Yeah, when he was flinging the shield, using the hammer and stuff with it, did some good stuff. I also, speaking of Cap, though, when we got the extended kind of tower scene from the equivalent of the first Avengers film, he goes in the elevator. It's like, wait, we've seen this in the Winter Soldier movie.
Yes.
There were just so many callbacks and so many things where they were clearly having fun. Tossing Robert Redford in their first scene and stuff.
Yes. Yes. Well, the bit that I loved about the elevator scene was Cap having the attitude of, I'm going to get away with almost anything because, you know, I'm only here for a few minutes. So I might as well do something that doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, but there's an aspect of me thinking that there should have been ramifications on his little Hail Hydra moment, you know?
I think the fans had that reaction like 3 years ago, though. Didn't Cap Hail Hydra in the comics?
He did, but I mean, the movie where we had the actual elevator scene before takes place after this one and should have played out differently if he'd done that moment.
Yes.
They were thinking, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Or maybe this is why they were upset with him. I don't know. You could argue it either way.
There seemed to be a lot of stuff that happened here that wasn't remembered in later movies. Well, the hammer jump starting Tony.
We'd seen something like that before, I think. I'm trying to remember. Again, there were so many callbacks and such. When Loki kind of steps out with the Tesseract, where did he go? How did they get that back?
We don't know where he went, but they went back to 1970. We don't know where it'll be in the future, so we'll go back further.
And Loki may show up in the Disney Plus show that they're planning on doing with Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Ah.
I did like Falcon getting Cap's shield there at the end.
Yeah.
That goes back to some of the stuff they've done in the comics, too. I was not surprised at the end of the film for them to have essentially taken Captain America and Tony Stark off the field.
I was trying to remember in one of the movies, many movies ago, when we saw an elderly Peggy Carter dying in a hospital, she talked about husband. She talked about kids.
Yeah, I was thinking she had this full family or something.
Now, as I recall, we didn't see a picture of the husband. She didn't give details.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember because there was something I watched, and I'm hopefully confusing something else with this, where somebody is dying. Time traveler is essentially, whether they were literally time traveler, Cap or whatever, visiting them and finding out, oh, they had this full family, grandkids, etc. They lived a happy life, even though it wasn't with the person they had wanted. I just don't remember if that was Peggy Carter or not. I know he went back to visit her at one point. I know she died off screen at one point.
Yeah.
I just don't remember out of the 20 or something movies and two seasons of her show where we'd kind of last seen her and left her.
Yeah, that's the hard part with these.
I was half expecting him to talk to her in her office. You need to get us out of here. You know, kind of, I'm sorry, I love you, but
yeah,
fate of everything is at stake. When they were sending Cap back in time, though, to go put the stuff back, I figured, yeah, he's gonna stay. How he wound up there on the bench, don't know.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah. I mean, he obviously knew when and where they'd be.
Yes, that makes sense.
But, yeah.
It makes me wonder if there are going to be other potential ramifications of that down the line if they want.
Which would be interesting.
Yeah. One of the things I think they conceivably opened the door for, but would be another at least 10 years, 15 years before it would be kind of the right time to do it. And for lack of any other better name, I'm going to say an Iron Maiden movie.
Yes.
Featuring Morgan Stark.
Yeah. She was cute.
She was really well done. A lot of fun. But also brought to mind the character of Ant-Man's daughter.
Mm.
Similarly cute, really well done. And in this, of course, they've aged 5 years. So bounce some stuff up there. They covered so much ground. I felt many of the characters got a lot of good screen time. it did get to that moment of, okay, Thanos is bringing his army. What do you got? And it's like, you know, we've solved everything. Even if they came back where they left, that means most people are over in Wakanda. Okay, it's going to take a few minutes for, you know, them to figure out, hey, what's going on and where do we need to be and get there?
Yeah.
Which seemed to fit about when it happened.
Yeah.
So some of those people like Doctor Strange and stuff didn't get as much screen time or as much of an arc in this film as, you know, maybe could have. But again, even with 3 hours, with this many characters, with this many points in time you're dealing with, this many plot points and things that need to happen, you can't do everything. And I felt they accomplished a lot in this film.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it was a definite celebration of everything they've built up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
I would be hard pressed to name anything for the most part, although I've got a few things popping to mind that they kind of didn't really either pay tribute to or acknowledge.
But are there any plot threads they left loose that you wish they'd tied up at this point?
For me, this movie is demarcating what is Marvel Cinematic Universe proper and Marvel Cinematic Universe extended.
Okay.
Because while it has clearly pulled aspects from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, this to me relegates Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. into that extended area. Yeah. Likewise, while they have referenced the Battle of New York and stuff like that in all of the Netflix stuff, all of that isn't referenced here and doesn't play in.
Yeah.
Things like Runaways, like Cloak and Dagger, haven't really even acknowledged any of the movie type stuff, and therefore doesn't seem to be part of what they've done here.
Mm-hmm.
But do I feel that there's any plot threads they kind of either left dangling or something like that? Certainly there's a lot more that they both can and should do, but this to me was a satisfying kind of conclusion to the movies. They covered stuff with the Hulk really well and kind of not ended that, but progressed his arc enough that I hope he actually gets a solo film. Captain America, I think they definitely, you know, concluded his arc. So we saw him, you know, from beginning to end. Same with Iron Man. Thor, I felt they dropped the ball on.
Yeah.
But I think they did what they set out to do. I was disappointed with how they handled Black Widow.
Yeah.
I would agree. So many films to never have gotten a solo one, although maybe there's one in the works. Disappointing.
Yeah.
Hawkeye, they progressed his character, moved him to the Ronin stage, even acknowledged tangentially his time using Pym particle stuff with him being the test pilot for the time thing. Did a good job with him, but not. It felt like there was more they could have done with the character. I just don't know if the actor decided to go do other things like the Mission Impossible movies or what happened.
He's consistently felt like the least used and most underused character. I mean, in the early movies we saw him in, he was the guy in the rafters who didn't talk.
Well, that was in Thor. And then he got used in Avengers and in Age of Ultron. I don't think we saw him in Civil War. It's funny because I would agree he's the least used, but I think the one that was more disappointing that didn't get a solo feature was Black Widow because we'd seen her in so many more films.
Well, and she got better use, etc. She wasn't the underused character he was.
Yeah, yeah. And they never even played with him being feared that he was underused and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, putting him kind of out on the farm or whatever, he seemed perfectly happy with. I thought his daughter should have been named Kate to reference the other Hawkeye in the comics.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think his character really had any kind of an arc or direction across all the movies. And that was a little disappointing. I kind of figured this movie had to deal with time travel in some way, shape, or form, because when you wipe out half the universe, there's almost no other way to undo that. Even though they used the time travel and then undid it without the time travel.
Yeah, well, you know, but that was so we could keep Morgan.
Yes. Which I'm fine with. Yeah. But it feels like now there's a lot of support groups needed for back. Things have changed. What happened? You know.
There's a lot of PTSD in this world.
Well,
whether you were snapped or not, you have PTSD.
Yes. And it's the kind of thing that makes it unclear, say, where sixth season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would be set, because they don't seem to reference any of this, but how could you not if it's after all of this?
Yeah. Yeah, they don't reference the snap.
Yeah.
Whether or not they would use the phrase the snap, they don't reference anything.
The fact that, Cap was in the support group and mentioning Thanos and stuff like that, people obviously know half the people are gone. Somebody had to explain that. They didn't start with any kind of video, documentary, news footage, something.
Yeah.
This is what we've pieced together. The Avengers made a statement or
yeah,
whatever.
Well, and they never covered what part of the government survived.
Yeah, it's hard to know what the general populace knows, other than obviously half of everybody's gone and they've put up the missing, the vanished, whatever.
Yeah.
But there seem to have been no social ramifications of that, other than obviously everybody having PTSD.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of things there that were a little weird. But again, 3 hours, even with that much, you only got so much time to deal with it. I would be curious if there's a novelization on this. Do they fill in other gaps?
Usually books do, so I'd be curious what's got in it.
I would almost be curious to see a new set of novelizations for all the films written at this point after the end game.
When the continuity is known.
When they can basically say, okay, we're going to fill in a few other things back here to set up what they didn't have time in the films or
yeah,
to flesh some other stuff out.
Yeah.
But bringing in so many familiar faces from so many of the films really, to me, kicked this up a level from other films and such. Because it's typically the kind of thing you can do in a comic because it's drawing one face is no different than another. Versus in a film, I mean, getting Robert Redford for the day to do that scene, getting Loki for those scenes, or Tom Middleton, getting so many of the actors for so many of the characters.
Yeah.
It was, again, a little disappointing they couldn't bring in a couple of familiar faces from the Defenders and stuff like that. But how would you have... who would have brought them?
Yes. Very true.
You know, and that's where I think they towed the line of what's Marvel Cinematic and what's not. Because I'd been considering the Defender stuff part of it, but it's an extended, not a proper part of it.
Yeah, they don't even have a Phil Coulson type character for a liaison between the universes.
Yeah. And the fact that S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't really seem to show up.
I don't think they were there at all. If they were, I wasn't noticing them. I mean, they...
closest is getting Maria Hill and Nick Fury at the funeral scene and the cut scene, the deleted scene. We did see the version that had the one or two deleted scenes.
Yeah.
And that didn't add anything.
No, I was thinking 1970 or 1970,
they reference S.H.I.E.L.D., but no modern day S.H.I.E.L.D. So it was good. I think it was a definite culmination of everything they'd done. I enjoyed it. I thought it was epic. I thought we got some really good battle scenes. I was disappointed that the Nebulas had to be networked to give the game away to Thanos. I think there was a better way they could have figured out to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't seem kind of contrived.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It was so many callbacks and so many familiar faces. Everything from re-seeing essentially the first scene from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And then cutting to without the music and seeing it from Machine's perspective.
Yeah.
It's like, so he's an idiot. Yeah. Just some fun moments. They clearly, I think, as they were putting all this together, spent some time, went back through the films, acknowledged what was working and stuff and things. Let's go reference that. Let's go do this. Mm-hmm. And should be proud of what they've done.
Yeah, I agree with that.
How much of this carries over into a phase 4 or something? Don't know. I'm expecting a fair amount of it too. We already know that we're getting, I think, a Loki story in Disney Plus, a Winter Soldier Falcon one, and maybe a Scarlet Witch one as well.
Interesting.
So when the Disney service kicks in, I expect to see a lot more kind of connection and continuation of this stuff. Maybe in a Hawkeye series, I think.
Interesting.
And that'll be fun.
Yeah.
So they clearly did a little bit of setup for, and maybe it was the thing at the end that was the setup for Far From Home for Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. With Fury and...
Well, actually, that too. That's right. I was at first thinking the footage we saw of Fury and Maria Hill was a reference to, because even though they had the director introduce it, he introduced it poorly. I was thinking at first it was a reference to what Nat was talking about, or actually what War Machine was talking about with Nat, about Clint having killed off people in Mexico. Wasn't. There was something going on in Mexico, and we get those two, and it's got Mysterios, and then, oh yeah, by the way, Far From Home launches soon.
Yeah. The way that it was at the end of the movie, it looked like it was another deleted scene. Oh, but wait, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The extras we got, because we waited so long to see it, tribute to Stan Lee, which was nice, but I think you had commented on the drive home. They should have just put that on YouTube.
Yeah.
I definitely think they should have. It was basically some behind-the-scenes stuff of him rapping from all the different cameos he did, which was cool. Great tribute. We got one deleted scene with some rough early effects for a scene establishing kind of the Professor Hulk as a hero, but I couldn't tell where that was supposed to be in the movie. It
seemed to be shortly before the diner, because Steve was calling to invite him somewhere.
It was either the diner to set that up, probably that, or it had to be that, because it couldn't have been when they were trying to do we get the full team or whatever, because he was already involved at that point, so it had to be there. But it's like, come on, spend 30 seconds and say this would have taken place before, you know.
Yeah, the introduction we got was a very generic, I hope you enjoy this special footage.
Yeah, yeah. It was not contextual to the footage we got in the showing of it. And then again, a teaser for Far From Home. So if you'd seen the film before they re-released it or whatever, you didn't miss a damn thing.
Yeah.
We were just happy to go see it in the theater, and would have liked it probably a little more if I hadn't had a couple of spoilers. But again, IMDb had the shot of Fat Thor in articles on the sidebar. I'd seen a trailer during a commercial break of some other show that gave away the Professor Hulk scene. It's just the way our culture is with so many spoilers. And yeah. I think it's so disrespectful to people that spend so much time putting these stories together.
Yeah.
That it was a little disappointing. But I was glad the overall plot and the number of cameos, that was not spoiled. If I had already known Robert Redford was going to be in there, we're going to see the Ancient One again, we're going to see this, we're going to see Peggy Carter again, all that kind of stuff, that would have really sucked a lot of the power out of the story.
Yes.
So, fun film, enjoyable. They kind of, in my mind, landed the ending for the first three phases of the Marvel films. Whether they're going to have a similar kind of a meta arc over the next couple, whether they've got that kind of a game plan or not for the future stuff, I don't know. Hope they do.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.